Startups move fast, and with AI, they're shipping even faster and attracting enterprise buyers sooner. But big deals bring even bigger security and compliance requirements. A SOC 2 isn't always enough. The right kind of security can make a deal or break it. Vanta knows what's needed and when, and they've built the fastest, easiest path to get you there. That's why serious startups get secure early with Vanta. Get $1,000 off at vanta.com/wandery. That's VANTA.com/wandery.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the hilarious and glorious and just beautifully stubbly Ronnie Karam. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you doing, Ben?
Look at that sexy afternoon shade. What's it called? Afternoon
shade. Whatever. 5 o'clock shadow.
5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. Welcome to your podcast, Ronnie. We are here today to talk about Below Deck Med. What an episode. Before we dive into that, thanks to everyone who showed up to our various live things yesterday, including the inimitable Allison Roman. That was so cool that Allison Roman came and dropped by Crappy Hour, our last one of the year. If you missed it, don't worry. It's here. It's on our feed if it's not already, and it's on YouTube. So go check it out. And in the new year, join us for future Crappy Hours. And then also join us on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Weekly bonus episodes, video, Discord community, all that great stuff. So thanks to everyone who supports us over there. Thanks to everyone who comes to watch to the Crappy Hour. Thanks to anyone who just listens to this show, to anyone who subscribes. What a great year we've had. And we're winding down. But that is basically that for that. What is going on with you, Ronnie? How are you feeling? What's new?
Good, good. Everything is good over here. Just getting ready for Christmas, doing a little shopping, etc. I'm in Texas. It's cold. It's wintry over here. It's like 45 degrees. Yeah. It was 45 degrees today, so it was nice and chilly. It's good to wear a jacket. Brr.
Yeah. Well, I missed you because this morning I also went on to Jeff Lewis's show on Sirius XM. So go listen to that if you missed that one. In your place was actress Elizabeth Rome. So, you know, she held down the fort even without my beautiful Rondola there. But
well, that's fun. How's she?
She's awesome. She's so cool. She's beautiful. Also, I was like, I was sitting next to her trying to be cool. I was like, but internally, I was like, you're so pretty. But I tend to do that a lot with women.
Gorgeous ladies. Just like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is very beautiful. My gosh.
Yeah, she is. But anyway, thanks to Jeff and Shane and that whole crew over there for having me back on. So that's, I think, all
the chunk. Because she's in Law and Order.
I should have. Okay, I don't think there's anyone else I have to thank. I'm giving like an Oscar speech this morning. I want to thank Below Deck.
Good morning. Yeah, it's a good morning when you show up and you're like, I'd like to thank you all. Thank you all just for being a part of my story. All right.
Thank you. You've
all been a part of my journey.
Yeah. Thanks. I had a croissant afterwards. The Sirius XM is right next to Tartine. So it's like, I always act like I just came out of the dentist office. I'm like, well, I deserve a croissant after being on the radio. So I went and had
a croissant. Is no croissant that leaves more evidence all over your body than a tartine croissant.
I know.
Those are the crumbliest croissants. I always get them all over myself. So yeah, that's good. You did it after. Because you can't walk into Jeff Lewis covered in carbs. He'll be like, ew, were you eating carbs? I don't eat carbs. I hate carbs. We hate carbs here. Don't we, Shane? Shane would be like, yeah, we hate carbs.
Well, they're always so nice over there. They offered to get me breakfast. So this time I said, no, I'll take an avocado toast, and got this delicious avocado toast, but it was like covered in like chili crisp and it was like oil and all this stuff. I was so messy. And then if people come in, I'm like, I'm not going to touch Elizabeth Rome with my chili oil fingers, but I was a mess before the show started and I was so embarrassed.
That's funny. Well, you had quite a morning. Avocado toast, croissant. Wow, it's like an orgy over there. It's just bedlam. It's like
I can't believe I've already gained back half the weight I lost with my no-carb October. How did that happen?
No wonder you showed up. Like, I think it might be time for a no-carb January or whatever.
Yeah, I need to. I mean, it's been pretty intense since
it's been pretty carby. Well, that's good. But yeah. Well, today is our carbs Below Deck Med season 10 episode 12, The Forbidden Kiss.
Wow. What an episode. What an episode. This is
nice episode. To see that Joe comes from a hashtag boy mom. Because he 100% does. We got to meet Joe's mom today. He was like,
oh, darling, whatever you want to do, it's the woman's fault. Just do whatever you want. Did she trick you into it, darling? Did she? Did she trick you?
I know. It's like you just see how it happens. You see how this is how people like Joe were made. What a piece of trash he is. What garbage. But we're not surprised. We knew this would happen. But when you actually see it happen and then you see him crying over what he's done, and you also see how, and also Kizzy, I mean, these are just two obnoxious people. This is as close to Below Deck ever. We'll get to a Scandoval moment, so you know, we got to enjoy it. But like,
well, I don't know that I'd say that. I mean, that was,
well, I mean, you have a
friend. That was such a big deal because those two people were so together forever and everybody believed it. You know, I mean, Tom Sandoval was shocking because he was such a dope on the show, but I don't know, he was always kind of. You were always kind of rooting for him because he was always against Jax and all, you know. I mean, it's not like he didn't have any faults, but it was a shock that he did that. Mm. But this was not a shock. No, this was not a shock. I'll tell you who's going to be shocked. That girl's sinuses, V. She's going to be, do you think you're sad now? Your grief is going to be tripled after this. Her sinuses are going to fall out of her nose. We're going to need to go over there and put straws in there for her. Because this guy's a total asshole. And yeah, fuck Kizzy too. I mean, Kizzy, like, we knew that with both of these people, that they're just trash. And they're going to bring nothing but trash to whoever they're involved with. And Kizzy got engaged to that dude that she's, Tommy, or whatever, whoever she's been calling all season. And have fun, Tommy, because your life will be filled with trash now. You know, trash, garbage person, garbage.
Yeah. Talk about a future divorce. What, she's like 23. I don't know how old Tommy is, but you guys will be divorced soon. So congrats on your future divorce. It's not even a wedding. It's a pre-divorce party that you'll be having.
Yeah.
And, you know, good luck to both of you all. You're interesting. The reason why I said it was like as close to Below Deck could ever get to Scandoval is that you have one girl who is like going through shit and her best friend. Her quote, maybe not best friend, but her friend sort of quote unquote cheating with her Sandoval type. It's just as close as the show can really get to that kind of shit. But I was so happy. Honestly, I really enjoyed the episode because I was very invested in this stupid situation and coming off of last season where I just did not give a shit about any of the romantic hijinks. It felt good to be annoyed. You know,
and it's like, also nice, like, you know, for a super judgmental person like me, when things come true, you know, like when you know that someone's a piece of shit and they're pretending they're not a piece of shit and then they turn out to be a piece of shit. And it's just comforting to know, like, it's comforting to know, like, there are pieces of shit. That's not comforting. But, you know, the fact that you still got it. You know, it's like, still got it. Not that this was a difficult case or anything, but, you know, Joe, people like Joe can fool people, even like Aisha, who's like, well, I don't know. I mean, it is Joe, but he does seem to have changed. No, we did not fucking change. And we even get the glorious tears of the, how could I? I made a mistake. Oh, now I'm the victim because I made out with somebody. Oh, it's just glorious.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I feel like we are like, I feel like we are a gay couple who have trained a seeing eye dog. Like we are the one who took in the dog for 3 years, trained the seeing eye dog. And then you send the seeing eye dog out in the wild and you say, oh, I hope all our training worked and the dog does the right thing. And then the dog crosses the street at the right time. And you're like, yes, our training worked. It's like we put in the time to study these people on Bravo. And then we're like, okay, let's see if all of our hard work has paid off. And it does. It paid off. We totally see it. Or maybe this is the way an FBI profiler feels. Like after they spent all that time profiling and then they have like a case and they're like, ooh, well, if my experience profiling all these criminals is correct, then this person, Buffalo Bill, has Jodie Foster in a well. And then it turns out Jodie Foster's in a well. And we're like, Did it.
Yeah, did it. I knew it. And it's not like being a fan of Buffalo Bill or anything. We're not cheering for that. Like, yes, you put somebody in a well. Yes, give them the lotion, bitch. It's not that. It's just like called it, you know. So, yeah, yeah, it feels good.
We put in the work. We put in the work to be able to recognize these things. And it's like nice when like to know that that work was not all in vain.
Yeah. So we open with Kizzy on the deck with David. Oh, God, the charter guest, David, that she's going to fuck. And you called this, too, because I really thought she was going to go through with it and bang him. But she didn't. You were right. Last week you said she's just going to chicken out and be like, no. And you were right. So that's what she's doing. He's like, are you afraid? You afraid of getting in trouble right now? Oh, for following your passions? Oh, on the deck of this boat? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, I don't want to get you in trouble. Bad girl.
Well, the reason why I knew nothing was going to happen was because if they did kiss, they would have shown us that and then made that the cliffhanger. But if they don't kiss, then that means nothing happened. Like, they're going to do a cliffhanger trying to get you to think they might kiss. But if they've got nothing to show, if they got something to show, they'll show it and then make that the cliffhanger. So that was what I was going off of.
Well, you did it. Whatever you did, you did it right. So she's like, I feel like I would get fired. Please, please don't get me in trouble. And he's like, oh, I would never get you in trouble. And she's like, oh my God, you know, it's taken me close to, I had to get this close to kiss a charter guest to realize that maybe I've taken it a bit too far. Oh, Aisha would flip her shit if I started snogging David on the deck. I can't do it. I can't. Damn. I'm sorry. Do you have a girlfriend or a relationship that I can ruin? Then I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not in competition with anybody. So this is a total turnoff to me, which I think is probably what she really meant. Cause you know, with her, it's like the conquest, the competition and the winning.
Yeah, exactly. He actually made himself a little bit too available too. So she's like, don't worry. I don't see myself being with someone from America. And he's like, oh, are you breaking up with me? She's like, I'm really so sorry to do this. He's like, it's like Romeo and Juliet. I was like, and she's like, but they both ended up dead. So it's probably for the best.
Right.
Oh, fuck my life.
Where Juliet just couldn't be with Romeo because he was American. She's like, gross. Okay. Get your country in order.
And Juliet also can't wind up with Romeo because Juliet's part of the service staff, the wait staff at the castle.
Well, not the castle. Yeah. I love some good American shaming on Below Deck. She's like, I will sleep with literally anybody but an American. Sorry. Get it gear over there, guys. Learn to drive on the correct side of the road and give me a call. Okay.
I do love that even like the worst of what Britain has to offer, they can still be like, yeah, but at least I'm an American.
I mean, when we're being looked down on by the Kizzies of the world, we're really like, sunk over here.
But you know what, though? Like, you know, we did it to ourselves.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I can see her point. And I think he has a perfect attitude. He's like, yeah, sure am. I see the news, too. I mean, I get it.
So now,
God, I left my phone downstairs. Like, who walks around without his phone? Now, how am I going to check texts? Just kidding. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. It's just weird.
So Joe goes into the galley. Kizzy goes in the galley, and that's where Joe is. And he's like, hold, good morning. She's like, ha, 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 good morning, because it's late at night. It's a joke. Get it? Because it's like late. See, here's the way a comedy works. You say something that's unexpected. Like, if it's nighttime, you say good morning. You just had to be there. So Joe's like, I can't wait for this talk, honestly. And Kizzy's like, well, he hates me now because I broke up with him. And I attract like a needy emotional man. That's what I do, Joe. And he's like, that's me. She goes, oh, you got fucking wifed up. So no, it won't work out for us, Joe.
And he's like, yeah, but. And she goes, you fucking idiot. So now it's time for bedtime. It's 4:28 when they go to bed. And now it's the next morning. Captain Sandy's out there filming. She's like, wow, so peaceful out here. God, it's great. It's like Norma's phone waiting for Amanda call.
It's so peaceful. It's like Norma's phone. It's on Do Not Disturb, except it naturally. She doesn't even have to turn the setting on. It's just quiet. No interruptions. What I'm trying to say is no one calls her.
Now everybody gets up and starts working in the morning, and Nathan and Joe are talking, and Joe's like, oh, Kizzy smells good, bro. And he's like, she smells good. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid, bro. And he's like, what have I done? Because everybody knows what you're going to do. So later when you're crying and saying, oh, I just got so drunk. No, you've been planning this. This was premeditated.
By the way, now is a great time. I know we talked about this on Crappy Hour, but as long as Nathan's showing up here, in case you missed it, now's a good time to tell the audience that Nathan's actually complete garbage and racist. And if you don't know what that's about, go listen to Crappy Hour because it's really unsettling and it's really disappointing.
Yeah, Nathan, fuck that guy. So in the galley, Max is attacking Kathy with a hug. He's like, kissing her cheek. And this week she's kind of softened to Max, which I was surprised by. I thought she was kind of grossed out by him. I thought she got the ick and she was just going to be done with him. But I guess she's giving it another go.
Yeah. She finally got her chocolate. So she really softened up. Yeah, she got the ack.
She turned the page and it's a new kitty on a new month. And you know what? She found the strength to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, you know, bouncing all over her. And she's like, it's too much energy. So then Sandy is like, okay, well, okay, Nathan, just so you know, it's really tight in here. So, okay, Max, we're going to park in a different parking spot. So Max is going to do something else. Okay, we need him to do puppetry. So I need him to do some shadow puppets. Okay, and he's going to take he's got to pretend, he's got to show me how big he says his penis is. And then he's got to demonstrate how big it really is. So go wide and then go small with his palms. That's what I need him to do, big and then small.
And they cut to Max on the swim platform and he's just throwing towels up in the air like, ooh, ooh la la. And she's like, okay, well, listen, this is America's Cup. And our original marina is full for the rest of the season. So we got to go to the new one, but it's more challenging because it's real thin, right? You got to try and get in there. So we're going to try it, you know, and we got to swing, got to have ground lines. We got to know what we're going to do here. I need everyone on board that I can trust. I need to trust people. I need to know that the bow thruster gave way to the last dog. I mean, bow thrusting, blah, 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 parking is very difficult. It's a parking monologue. Just get comfortable. It's going to go for a while. So now, new marina, back in my mind. I need the crew to be focused and calling distances perfectly, all right? Now, why am I trusting a man on below deck to be honest about inches? I don't know. But let's see. Let's see how it works out. This much room matters.
So the guests are waking up and going to breakfast, and then we see V, who has her quote of the episode, which is... AKA her blowing her nose. So she says, I know my body well. And right now, whatever I'm experiencing is like so in the thick of grief. Just it's a lot going on. I hate being sad. So she's blowing her nose still. She's still sick.
She goes off to cry. And yeah, then now it's anchor hauling time. So Max is asking Nathan, he's like, oh, what am I supposed to be doing as the boss of the boat? And he's like, okay, you know, here's what you do. And Max is like, oh, it's my chance to become the lead deckhand. You know, zoom, zoom, oh, just like fucking crash down.
Why does he think he's getting a chance to be lead deckhand? Wasn't it already assigned? I don't know. Did they just like pull this interview from a different part of the season? So, so Max is like, he's like, okay, I'm on position and I'm at 2 a.m. And Nathan's like, oh my God. He's like, oh, this guy, 2 a.m. So Max is like, this is not about Joe. It's about Nathan not being fair because you work hard and you're like the best one. And then his best friends show up and just fuck me over. It's like corruption, okay? In politics, this is corruption. I'm like, it's not that deep, bro. It's just a fake position on a show with fake deckhands.
If it's truly like politics, there's enough room for every idiot. So just keep running. You'll eventually get something. So yeah, Nathan is showing Max, you know, they're like, 1 meter, 1 meter. And she's like, I need to see your hands, Max. He's like, what? I don't have anything in the hand. She's like, no, I'm not accusing you of stealing anything. You need to tell me how many meters there are before we go into the thing. Okay. I need to show me your hands. And he just gives her the flash like for 20.
He's because the whole thing is that like, he has to be like, because of whatever, he just has to do some sort of like hand thing. And that's all he has to do. So V is still, she still has a stuffy nose. So Nathan's going to talk to Captain Sandy about that. And then the guests are talking about being up late. And David's like, yeah, I got broken up with guys. Have to recollect myself. It's so tragic. Couldn't land it. And then meanwhile, back with V, she is still sick.
So, it's a lot of cutting to V being sick. So then a lot of stuff falls out of a cabinet and breaks. And Below Deck Sailing was like, okay, we may be canceled, but we are not forgotten. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for stealing our best moment, Below Deck Med. Isn't it bad enough you guys canceled us without taking our action scenes?
Yeah, seriously. So meanwhile, the docking is still happening, and it's a lot of Max. Like, here's what I understand. Literally, Captain Sandia's, show me your hands, and then Max, like, puts his hands in his pockets. That's literally the opposite thing that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and Max is, like, doing push-ups and sitting down. And she's like, Max, I'm going to need you on your feet, all right? Need you alert. And he's like, oh, yeah. So he gets up. And then Kathy is so glad they only have three charters left. And Josh is like, oh, it's a bittersweet. And then, you know, it's just docking, measurements, hands, etc. And
a lot of drama for nothing.
Nathan's asking for distances, and Max is like, "Oh, she's with me on the bill, Nathan. Relax." And he's like, "Don't tell me to relax, bro." So, like, some fighting on the radio, in addition to the mayhem, which I'm sure she loves.
Yeah, it's a lot of back and forth because, you know, as we know, the bow thrusters went out last time, and there were lines in the water, and there's America's Cup. And, like, there's a Red Bull sponsorship happening. It's just a lot of scary things happening. And I think if we don't get this, I need to see some hands. If we don't see some hands, we're going to crash. We're all sink. We're all going to die. Oh, we docked.
We're fine. Everything's great.
We're fine.
Okay.
Okay, good job, everyone. Good job.
Meanwhile, Max has just been acting like an idiot. He hasn't been doing anything right. And he's like, fuck, what do they want from me? And Nathan says, what the fuck are you doing, Max? Just because you aren't lead deckhand doesn't mean you get to throw your fucking hands in the air and say, I'm not going to do my job. Go back to your own country.
He probably did say that, to be honest.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, all right. Well, we made it. We docked, so we're all safe. Okay, so let's get back to you guys being stupid. So now it's Kizzy. Kizzy's walking by Joe and sticks something in his butt cheeks, and he's like, clenches it in his butt. And she's like... So, you know, the sexual chemistry is off the charts.
Nice finger in the butt action.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, that was a little harder than it needed to be. And yes, I am talking to you, Joe. Okay, I can see you in the cameras. But good job, everybody. So then Kathy asked Kizzy how the night was. And she's like, oh, my God. He was like, wait, are you breaking up with me? Can you believe it? An American wanted to marry me. Now it's time for the guest to depart. And David just shakes Kizzy's hand very professionally. And Kathy's like, oh, I knew it was just going to be a handshake. I knew it. And so they're really sweet. They're like, oh, we appreciate everything you guys did. Thank you so much. I'm going to go get arrested now for fraud. Was it Cameron who got arrested for fraud?
It was Cameron who's having fraud issues right at the moment.
You're lucky you caught me for tip before I got arrested for fraud because I borrowed this from 20 different family members and I'm never going to pay them back. Okay, thanks.
Shaw Squad for life. So, time to turn the boat around. Okay. And so they're cleaning everything. V is coughing. So Nathan's like, hi, Captain. How you doing, Nathan? What's going on? Have any progressive views on people from different backgrounds for you? No, I don't. But with V, she doesn't feel so well. So I just wanted to let you know. You know, V has been through a lot this season already. And I feel like it's a combination of being fatigued and sick and just also having sex with Joe, that can really do a number on your body. So also the anniversary of her boyfriend, Sophie, just isn't a good place physically or mentally right now.
Well, you need to have your team. You know, I get it. I get it. So don't worry. I got you. I got you. I'm going to find something great. And I'm only going to bring professional vibes to the boat because I'm very about professionalism. Oh, gosh, how can I do this in the least dramatic way possible? Do you have anybody you absolutely hate in your life? Okay, maybe someone that hates you. Okay, an ex-girlfriend that you've recently fucked over on camera. I'll get right on it. Okay, go back to work.
Well, I just want to know what PA on the production staff went and coughed and blew their nose all over V's pillow to make her sick so that way she'd be removed from this boat. So that way all these plot complications would happen. Because this is just so convenient. This is so perfect. They're like, oh, let's take her off the boat. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, so she's texting deckhand number one, and she's like, "Hey, I might be in need of a tech deckhand. God damn it, for one charter. Okay, he wanted to see if he could fill in for a few days in Barcelona, and then we see." Oh, I might be in need of a temp deckhand for, oh, then we see someone being like, maybe, I don't know. So now we go back to Max and Nathan, and Max is like, can I show you something just so we are clear on the boat? You tell me to speak with Captain Sandy. So I'm on bow. She is there. I'm seeing her. Like we see it, you know, like really, come on, Nathan. And he's like, so you tell her anyway. She told you to stop sitting down and to pay attention. If I can hear Captain Sandy over that radio, I know you aren't paying attention. So you need to pay attention and do what she says. Simple as that. Now you'll be on the stern from now on. You've been grounded from the bow.
And what we call that is a stern talking to. Get it? So then Max is he's pouting, of course. And he's like, sure, yes, sir. And he does a middle finger salute. He's like, first, bye-bye to the lead deckhand position. Now we can take the bow. Fuck, dude. Ciao. I'm like, Max, you are the fuck up here, okay? Stop acting like the system is working against you. You literally, all you had to do is show your hands to Captain Sandy, and you couldn't even do that. I'm sick of it.
Yeah. And Nathan's like, I'm sick of him. He's lying through his teeth, and now he's getting argumentative. I'm not having it. And for revenge, I'm going to go walk around with a monk haircut. There you go. Going to get him with this one. Tip meeting. I wonder how V's doing. She's dying. So how do you think the charter went, Aisha? She's like, oh my girl, smashed it once again. Wonderful job, girl.
In fact, one of them actually almost smashed it too, literally. But thankfully, she has her own psychological issues, which causes her to sabotage her own work sabotage. Very convenient.
So V can barely speak. She's like, I'm sick. And Captain Sandy's like, well, we're going to talk on the bridge after this, okay? All right, everybody, it's a great tip. 20 grand. So, you know, I mean, mediocre, I guess. Great. I don't know. We made 40 one time. Remember that? That was fun. It's over now. But, you know, still not so bad. And something else I want to say. Tomorrow, guess what I'm going to say? My favorite word of the week. Alinghi, okay? We're going to the Alinghi Red Bull Racing Team headquarters. Isn't that exciting? I don't know if I'm more exciting to meet the Alinghis, the Reds, or the Bulls. Love them all. God, communist so Bulls. Really yeah. Into it.
Have you ever seen a bull racing in the water? So thrilling, especially the red ones. Wow. So I know everyone's really excited. So get ready because it's going to happen tomorrow. And then we see, we're seeing like a lot of stock footage of this America's Cup and this team. I'm sure it's like a very big deal. But to me, I'm like, okay, like it's fine. I don't need to see all the stock footage. I get it. So Aisha's like, oh, Scott would kill to see this. Oh my God, we're so lucky.
All right, what I want you to do is work real hard and turn the boat around.
Da, 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 da,
this is full of passion. Okay, I'm going to call everybody's significant others and try and get a lot of fingers in the hole. Okay, fingers through the hole going on my boat. Okay,
yeah. So now Kathy starts getting drunk, which is fun. And then Joe is like, hey, Kizzy, how are you gonna get drunk tonight? Can we shake on it? Let's get drunk. So then V is like blowing her nose. So and then Aisha's texting Scott. They're just all doing their like, you know, afternoon stuff after they're done with the charter. And Nathan is telling Max to use a scupper for something on the deck or the scupper, whatever it is. And Max is like, oh, but the scupper is the better way to do it when they are dry. And he's like, yeah, but we need to flush the scuppers to get the shit out of it. He's like, yeah, dude, ugh, I just want to be rebellious. Like, I don't care. Just ease it out of him because my grandfather would be so proud of me to be rebellion. My grandfather was a war hero, one of the resistance of World War II, who lead a lot of people to take a cocktail Molotov and throw it from the windows of a fucking Nazi, you know, in Paris, and his blood is in my veins. That's why I have a bit of a problem with authority. No boss on the planet is going to give me that.
You like wiping down a window is just really not the same level as throwing a Molotov cocktail at the Nazis. I'm just going to say that right now.
Although it is an interesting week for him to talk about bombing the racists.
I know. I appreciate the legacy. But like maybe aspire for something greater than Like, ah, the spirit of rebellion is within me. That is why I should be in service for wealthy people.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, my grandfather is such a rebel in the war. He's inspired me to clean deck.
I know. I will not flush the scuppers just because I'm rebel like grandfather.
So Aisha is texting Scott, and she's like, you'll never believe it. We're going to the Ilingi Red Bull something or other. You can't believe how many times Captain Sandy said Ilingi. I mean, it's just hilarious. And he's like, oh, I'm so jealous. I wish I could be there. So now we see V and Sandy in the bridge, and she's like, okay, listen here. I see your eyes. I see your sad eyes. Don't be discouraged, because I realize this song's really long, but you've got bad sinuses. I want you off my boat because I'm going to get some people here to give some deep throats. Now get out. Go. Go. Go be sick Captain somewhere Sandy, else, okay?
Why are you lifting that boombox over your head?
Shh.
In your eyes. I see you're tired in your eyes. You got a sinus infection. Don't say anything, V. It's from a different generation. Your elders would appreciate it.
All right, well, you're sick, you know, so you know what we do on Charter when people are sick. We give them lethal injections, watch them squirm for a bit, and throw them overboard. But since we're on camera, we're just going to replace you for a while. So you know what? Get out of here, kid. Go. I'm sure there's a continental breakfast. Get everyone at a hotel sick. Bye. Get out.
Sending her off to the hotel. Now, normally when people get sick on the show, they just are in their bed and then they just sit there for 3 days. Let's never forget when Kyle had like a toothache. He's like, Captain Sandy, I don't think I unfortunately cannot work at all, Captain Sandy, so I'm going to lay in bed for 3 days with my toothache.
Oh, it was everything with that guy. I remember it was a toothache and an ankle and like he always had something going on that one. It's trauma! So he was out.
Frank!
So she's out, and Captain Sandy still loves her. She's like, V has such a good work ethic, you know? You know, the way she's just so willing to take a nap when I tell her to, that's really what I'm looking for in somebody. You know, I can't believe I'm kicking someone off the boat who's taking this many naps, but here we are. So I'm the one who has to say, go, take a break. You know, you never have to say that around Norma, because we're always around Kit Kat bars, and she's always taking one, okay? Otherwise, she wouldn't do it, okay?
So she's like, yeah, when you come back, the job is yours. It's 100% yours. Nothing could ever change that. Okay. She goes, well, I'll come back with an iron fist. Thanks, Captain. Iron fist. I don't think this has anything to do with iron fist, but whatever. So V is like telling everyone, I'm going to the hotel. And Joe's like, oh, I'm so sad to see you leave. And then he's like he can barely contain the smile on his face, which says a lot because it's a big smile.
So V's like, yeah, it's like such an emotional day approaching. You know, it's great to know that Joe's going to be so supportive in there for me. And he's like, I'm sad to see her gone. But what's going on right now? It feels so serious. I'm just in this weird headspace. It's crazy how much her illness is really affecting me. What do I do?
What? Why is he in a weird headspace? He's like, it'll be good for her to get off the boat and recover. And then when she comes back, we can go back now 100%. I'm like, So Kizzy then goes to Kathy and she's like, I have to tell you something. Like last night, Joe and I were really flirtatious and I don't want to do anything because I know she really likes him. I'm like, okay, just because you're laying the groundwork now does not let you off the hook later. This is all she's trying to lay it on thick so that way no one would ever accuse her of being a shitty friend, but you're going to be a shitty friend.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So V walks in right at that time, but doesn't hear them talking. And she's like, okay, I'm going to be sure to take care of my boy. He's my Joe-mance, okay? So take care of him. And Kizzy's just rolling her eyes like, oh, God. God, now I'm going to fuck him in every hole, you know?
Yep. So Kizzy's like, Kathy, are you going to shag Max? She's like, ugh. No, disgusting. I hate that man. She's like, do you think he likes you more than him? She's like, well, let me answer that with an eye roll, a scowl, and like a little vomit in my mouth.
And she's like, well, I'm not even thinking about whether I like him or not. I just, you know, I want to kiss you. I want to kiss you. If I don't, I don't. It's not that big of a deal. And it's because backstory. My parents broke up when I was 4 years old. Here's a picture of me at 4 years old looking exactly like I do now with less mascara. How does every picture of her look exactly like her? It's weird.
I know.
She says that she had three parents growing up because she had her mom, her stepdad, and her biological dad. And because of my split family, I'm very much a realist. When it comes to dating, it's been holding me back with my relationship with Max. No, what's holding you back is that Max is annoying as fuck, okay? And you're trying to tell yourself it's not Max, it's you, because you're broken somehow inside. No, Max is annoying. You're not broken, okay? You're paying attention.
Also, like, I'm booing this. Boo. Boo to Kathy. What? You're going to give us some backstory, and your backstory is that your parents got divorced and, like, one of your parents remarried. Hello. This is Below Deck. Okay, you start off on a good note last week when you told us that you were raised in a taxi company. I'm like, can we get Danny DeVito into this story? What about Mary Lou Henner or Tony Danza? It's not like, you can't just come on this show and be like, my parents got divorced, okay? There needs to be a commune. There needs to be clown school. There needs to be fraud. There needs to be a baguette. There needs to be so much more. There needs to be a grandfather throwing Molotov cocktails at the Nazis. But you're like, oh, wow, my parents got divorced. Excuse me, ma'am. This is a yacht. This is not a Starbucks, okay? Have a better backstory.
Yeah, give us more. I mean, make something up about your stepdad. I don't care. Yeah. I had a stepdad, and he was a clown revolutionary who threw bombs at Nazis. I don't know. Okay, that works. That's fine. It's not the most original, but that's fine. Just take everyone else's backstory. My stepfather was a clown, a Nazi, and drove a taxi that talked like Herbie. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yes. That's what we're talking about. But like, oh, I have commitment issues because my parents got divorced. I mean, what are we in like normal life? No, I don't think so. This is Below Deck. You need to step it up.
So Nathan goes to talk to V, and she says she's going to the hotel, and he says to get better. Now they have to turn over the boat. V goes to the hotel, and the van stops for her, and she gets in the van and goes, as that driver, you know that driver was like, really? You've even got the door open. Could you stick your head out the door? I know you're sick, okay? I don't need to have it all over my face, all over the back of my neck.
It's just shocking how much people are disgusting. You know, they just will, like, we are raised, I think, like, globally, people are raised, cover your mouth when you cough, okay? Now, I know that masks have gotten politicized, and if you have a stance on a mask, it's a lightning rod issue, which is literally the stupidest thing in the world. But, like, it's just an extension of that. Like, cover your fucking mouth. Like, don't cough in my face, okay? If you've got a cough, keep it buried. Like, even cough into your shirt. Do something, but don't just step into a car and just cough onto someone's ear. V.
Yeah, V. So Nathan comes. I've already done that. So now Joe is cozying up to Kizzy already. I mean, this woman has just walked off the boat. And he's immediately like,
oh, you look lovely, don't you? Oh, you just look so lovely. Oh, God, I can't remember the last time I said that. Oh, about 5 minutes ago with V. Yeah.
Max, meanwhile, tells Kathy, oh, you look like Marie Antoinette. Oh, yes, that's a big compliment for me because I'm a rebellion. You know what I hate? I hate people in power, which is why you are the beautiful Marie Antoinette. I'm like, you know the story of Marie Antoinette, right?
I know. Is this your subtle way of asking for head? Get out of here. And of course, she doesn't know. She doesn't know who that is. She's like, oh, I don't know who that is. So now it's a boys' van and a girls' van, and the boys, Max is like, bro, did you see the boobies? She got boobies on hell. And Nathan's like, well, if you want me to look, I'll look. And then we go to the girls' van, and Kizzy and Aisha are just texting. And Kizzy's like, oh, there's something going on between Joe and I. Genuinely, I don't think I've ever got on with someone as well I get on with Joe.
I think, so here's what's obnoxious about this, aside from the base level obnoxiousness of anything that comes out of Kizzy's mouth, is if this guy is like with your friend and you know they are together and you've said enough, like, I would never do anything because she really likes him, and you know also that she's in a fragile place or whatever, the fact that she keeps on like going on about this to people, like, wow, there's just something between us, is so shitty, I think, because she's obviously trying to advance a narrative and like shift things or whatever. And like, I don't know, I kind of just feel like even if you felt that way, I would just sort of like keep it to myself, or maybe I would like treat it with like a little bit more gravity because someone could get hurt in that situation. Like maybe pull Asia to the side and be like, I have a weird situation because I feel like there's something going on between us, but like my friend, da-da-da. But the fact that she just sort of like announced in the van, like, oh my God, isn't that hilarious, guys? Knowing full well that something like that could just get back to V and be hurtful. Like, I just think it's just shitty. I just think the way she moves is shitty.
No, that's why she's doing it. She's dedicated to her game. You know, she's like, even if I don't end up hooking up with this guy, I'm going to make everybody think I'm going to, and I'm going to make it get back to V. I'm going to talk to literally every person on this boat just so I can
break it up.
V. Yeah, just to like hurt that. Kathy's like, oh, he's such a nice guy. Hey, no. What gave you that idea? And Aisha's like, I mean, I love Joe, but you know, I really do hate any guy that just always does this. It's like doing his duck lips.
Like,
try his like foam model thing. And Kathy's like, yeah, he does do that, doesn't he? Smolders, doesn't he? Yeah, he really does.
Kizzy tells us, the Kizzy puzzle is a very complex one. I'm like, no, you didn't get attention
it's not a puzzle.
Men in your life, and now you crave male attention, and the puzzle has been solved. It's a one-piece puzzle.
Yeah, you're a male-centered person who always loses the male. Like and it's going to happen again. You're going to center around the male to get what you want to hurt someone else's feelings, and he's still going to cry and dump you later and then make you feel guilty about it. Have fun.
Nothing complex. Kizzy puzzle. It's not even a puzzle. It's just a square. It's like you opened up a jigsaw puzzle, and there's just a giant square in there, and it's done.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's like, but it's one that I'm still struggling to put together myself. Maybe I need to do some self-therapy. And so now it's like going back and forth between her, like as a therapist and then her as a patient. She's like, welcome to therapy, Kizzy Kitchener. I'm your therapist, Kizzy Kitchener. By the way, I never realized her last name was Kitchener, and really makes sense what her profession is. She literally works in the kitchen.
I love that her name is Kitchener and she still won't fuck the chef. And he's like, please. She's like, oh, I just think I wish there was one man I was compatible with. Just one person with a penis who, God, would fit with Kitchener. She's like, we're literally in a kitchen right now. Nope, can't think of one. All right.
Her last name isn't even Kitchen. It's like Kizzy Kitchener. The implications, Kitchener is like she's someone who does kitchens. She's a Kitchener. She still won't do the guy in the kitchen. So she has this fake therapy thing and it's stupid and, nothing is solved.
I think it's amusing how, amusing she thinks she is. And this audience probably just hates her. I mean, I don't read a lot of like Below Deck Reddits or anything. I'm assuming everyone hates her, but wow.
I think so.
She's like, well, I'm not going to do anything. And Kathy's like, okay, listen, a cheeky little flirt, whatever. Just stay toxic, queen. Stay toxic.
And Kizzy laughs, stay toxic. I'm like, no, she was making fun.
That was sarcasm.
Right now, Kizzy.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm.
So they go to dinner and Kathy's in a much better mood today. She says she needs a drink because she's feeling frisky. And then Joe pulls out the chair for Kizzy. The boys go smoke. And Josh is asking Kizzy and Aisha if either of them snore. You know, we're seeing Josh's game, basically. He's like, so does anyone here snore? Anyone
here have a deathly fear of clowns? Anyone?
Anyone ever tried growing broccoli in human shit? Anyone?
Anyone want to see the picture of me naked with just a butternut squash covering my privates because I was on commune? No.
Kizzy hates snores. And Aisha's like, Scott snores and I love it. It's just so loud and comforting. I miss Scott. Well, she really does love him. I mean, the talk of how much she misses his snoring. She loves.
And she starts to cry at the table. So everyone's like, oh, Aisha. She's like, what I love about mine and Scott's relationship is we let each other go off and chase our dreams. But I do find that the older I get, I'm thinking about the future, and maybe it's not on a boat, because guess what? It's more fun to stick your finger up someone's bum when it's on land.
Yeah, so she's crying, and she's leaving. She's going to be out of here soon, is basically what she's telling us. Yeah. So now, food, drink, shots, and Kathy's like, and a huck, huck, huck to a jolly good fuck. Max is like, oh, she's so romantic, huh? And then Joe and Kizzy go to the bathroom together. Super subtle, these two. So they go downstairs into kind of like the bathroom foyer. What would you call that? Like a little waiting room for the bathroom. And then she sits down and he's like massaging her and they're getting all sexy.
Yeah. Acting in a way that you wouldn't act if you've basically been talking to someone and saying that you want to, you know,
I'm thinking of nobody else.
Relationship
nobody else after. But you. It's only you. Only you.
Yeah. And you don't want to hurt someone. And you're talking about how you don't want to hurt someone. And then after when the season's done, you want to like go off and do other things with them. Just acting in a way that you wouldn't act when you say those things. But of course, he's doing it. But the way, but acting the way you do act when you are just a paint by the numbers fuckboy.
Yeah. So back at the table, Nathan is talking to Aisha and Josh, and he's like, they want to fuck so bad right now from day one. And Josh is like, yeah, well, she still wants him. I know that. And he's like, 100. And listen, I don't want them to. I don't want them to.
I don't want them to either. And the way he's behaving is making V think that they're only with each other. And so if he did something with Kizzy tonight, it would be shit. It would be shit.
So Nathan's like, watching this flirtatious behavior between Kizzy and Joe, I'm just thinking about V, man. V has just got off the boat, you know?
Yeah, it just makes it even more complicated knowing that V experienced losing the love of her life. This is probably the first time she's feeling any sort of romantic excitement since then.
So Nathan's like, oh, if they do that, it's going to create tension because I don't stand for that. He better not fuck this up. And he tells them, he's like a dog with two dicks.
I think it's just like a dog with one dick, honestly. I think dogs are not known for being like terribly monogamous. I think a dog with one dick can really get around.
Yeah. So now they go back in the vans and Joe's like, what am I supposed to do, man? And Nathan's like, you can't do it. You can't do it. Please don't do it. And then the other man in the other van, Max and Kathy, she has her legs in his lap and he's like, oh, and she invites him to sleep in her cabin. And she's like, let's go to the hot tub first. And he's like, oh, I love your hair like this. She goes, do you prefer it when it's wavy or like this? And he's like,
such a rebel. So then Aisha's telling everyone in the van that she told Scott that she's so happy she gets to spend the rest of her life with him, which is very nice. And then they're just go. Now they get back to the boat. They get in the hot tub. They're drunk. They're making out. Nathan's foot winds up in Kathy's vagina. You know, these things happen. And Joe and Kizzy are being really close and really flirty. And they're also very, very drunk. And Joe's like, I'm not very good, am I? She goes, no, it appears not. She goes, well, maybe I'm doing a little bit of everything. She's like, I don't know what you're saying, but you're hot. So I'll just pretend like I do.
Yeah, so they're wasted, and Aisha and Nathan are side-eyeing them, and he's like, this is fucked up, I'm going to bed. And she's like, same.
Could anybody stand outside my room and just sound like Darth Vader for a bit so I can go to sleep?
And by the way, notice that like Nathan totally removes himself from that situation. Admittedly, Joe and Kizzy are adults, and they do not need tending after, but if Nathan was really concerned about what Joe would be doing, and also even if Aisha were, but I feel like it's a little bit more on Nathan, he would be like, hey Joe, you should come to bed also. But he's just like, I'm out of here, peace.
Nah, he already knows what Joe's gonna do. He's known a million Joes. He's been yachting for a long time. He knows what's, I'm sure he's been a Joe many times. He knows what Joe's doing, and he's just like, I'm out of here, see
no
ya.
No point in trying to help him out. It's too late.
Yeah. And it's not his responsibility. I mean, he's that's the thing. Like, you're best friends with a douchebag. What are you going to do? Like, get mad when they're a douchebag? He's a douchebag. He knows he's a douchebag. That's his friend. I'm the biggest shock is that he's acting shocked.
Actually, I'm pushing back slightly. Normally, I would actually 100% agree with you, and I'm only going to be 99% because I agree. At a certain point, you're adults. Like, you just make your choices. And like, you know, when you're like 23, you feel like, oh my God, I have to protect. I have to step in. But like, so normally I'd be like, you know what? You make your own choices. But in this case, Nathan is the bosun and he knows that this will cause an issue on deck. He already said at some point in the episode, like, the last thing I want is for this to happen because, you know, they're both like V and Joe are both on my team. So I think actually for the smoothness, but for the tranquility of your team, you would be like, hey, I'm pulling you back to bed because I don't need drama on deck. So I think there's 1% I disagree with you where I think that just that's in terms of as a boss, he could have stepped in.
So now everybody goes, like I do. What's that?
I said, but I don't really care as much as I sound like.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I mean, honestly, my whole thing is like, I don't care. It's like arguing about what should be on top in a trash compactor. Like, I really don't care. They're trash. And I think that it's probably better for V to realize that she's with trash, because the whole thing, the whole danger with someone like V, it's like if everybody protects her from this asshole, she's going to go around like, oh my God, he's such a good guy. And I've finally broken a man. You know how she's been doing. And I think it's better that she just separates.
Learns the hard way. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a good faker. So. Yep. It's like they're putting him in a situation where he's not going to be able to fake his way out of this one, which he'll still try to do by crying and being like, it was just drunkenness instead of premeditation, which I talked to this girl about fucking her for 2 days, you know?
Yep.
So then Joe and Kizzy, of course, stay up. Everyone else is drunk eating downstairs. Nathan's going to bed with Lucky Charms, which is just, I think if we wrote that, it would be like so like racist. It's like, of course he is. And then we go back to the hot tub and Kizzy's like, oh, I think we should probably go before we fall in love, eh? And he's like, yes, before this turns into a problem because we're having too much of a laugh. Am I right? So I rub your neck.
So they all go to, they're all getting out of bed and out of the hot tub, etc. And then Kizzy and Joe are at a table and his legs are on her chair. And he's like, I'm going to bed after this. I can't deal with you. And she's like, it's your choice, not mine, but it's nice that we can be so stupid, but I still find you sexy. Which is like, So then Joe is like, oh, that's the fucking thing. Oh, I can't get with you because of V, because of Victoria. And she's like, no, of course not. And I was like, because we've got V. No, of course not. Of course not. And it's not even on the table, babes. No, we're not. Where's the camera? Can we make sure the camera gets us saying it's absolutely not on the table, babes, that we're going to get together?
Yeah, Victoria, she doesn't deserve like disrespect from me. Yeah, let's go to bed because you're trouble and you're wearing me jumper. And so they get up and he's like, oh, it's just such a massive battle between what I want and what I don't want and what I know is wrong and what I know is right. Ah. So Kizzy goes around the corner. They see the camera, where the camera is, and they go and they hide behind the camera so the camera can't get them. And then they start making out. And then they show a close up of water dripping into a bucket, which I didn't get. Did you see that?
I was so confused. I was like trying to discern what they were trying to show us. I was like, what? Huh?
Yeah. I was like, is there a reflection off something? Is this supposed to be like a leaky wiener? Like, I don't know what it was supposed to be, but it was funny. And so then she purposely like kind of like, oh, whoops, I'm making out too far. Now the camera's catching us. Whoops. And then she looks up at the camera and she's like, whoops, you got caught. Well, so you see, like, it's not just V. No one can trust her. Like, I'm telling you, this girl is just making trouble just to make trouble. Like, why do you think she's gonna, like, she's not even a good cheating partner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and not that I'm saying like, oh, that would be better, but at least have some skill in what you're trying to do. You know, you can't even be a good villain. You're just like, you're so bad at it.
Yep. Yeah. No, she's trash. So then they're like, oh, no, what are we going to do? So then, of course, my favorite is the cameraman who comes bolting down. Because, you know, they told the cameraman, OK, stay back. So that way they think that they're alone. And then like, OK, they're caught. They know they're not alone. Go, go, swarm. This cameraman goes running down there. And they're like, oh.
Because didn't he cover the camera or something? They did something to the camera.
They tried. Joe tried to move the camera out of the way. But at this point, the cameraman was already there. And then Joe's like, oh. Kizzy just fell. She just fell down here. I came to save her. She just fell. You didn't see anything. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So and now they have to go to the galley and she's like, oh God, just don't talk about this ever. Don't talk about it ever. And he's like, okay. So then let's see. Max and Kathy go to bed together and he's like, ooh la la. And they start doing the deed. And then Nathan sees Joe and he's like, what the fuck happened tonight? And he's like, I can't remember. But it might cost me her.
So now it's the next morning. And Joe wakes up and he's very depressed looking, which shows that he does remember. He's very, very depressed. And Kathy and Max are still in bed. And she's like, what if every single person knows that we've just fucked? How embarrassing. He's like, oh, I will not say anything.
for a few hours.
So yeah, right. He's going to come out of there high-fiving everybody. Like, yes.
I know.
Yes.
Be punching the air like he's Rocky.
Viva la revolution.
So Josh sees Kizzy in the kitchen. He's like, okay, give me the gossip. She's like, literally no gossip. He's like, no way. No, seriously, there's no gossip.
So then we go to Max and Joe, and Max is like, oh, do you remember how we come back? And he's like, I do, actually. No, I don't. And so they're saying, Joe, do you remember about last night? He's like, absolutely nothing. I'm claiming the old blackout defense.
Mm-mm. He's like, bits and pieces. What I remember is a blur. So he just says that he remembers having fun. So sure. So what I like about this is that they are both really shitty, both as a partner and as a friend. And then they both are very comfortable lying. So great, great episode for both of you.
Yeah. So Josh is still giving Kizzy a look. And she's like, stop giving me that look. Okay. Just deny. Don't tell V. Deny. So now Captain Sandy comes to get him because, guys, it's time to go see the Alinghi Red Bull race. Okay. Alinghi. I'm going to say Alinghi as many times as I can. Okay. Let's go. So they go into some Red Bull branded boats and they go to the Alinghi little tiny boat race festival.
Alinghi tiny little boat race festival.
So guess what? Everyone, we're here. So the Alinghi Red Bull Racing Team headquarters, it's very exclusive. You know, Norma can't even get within like a 10-mile radius of this place. It's so exclusive. But that has to do with just the fact that she stalked the owner of it for many years in a row, and they became very alarmed with her presence. So anyway, to be able to be part of this is super cool. I mean, it's just one of the perks of yachting is getting to go check out Alinghi. It's the Roger Federer of boats, basically.
Yeah, so they get like a little tour of this place, and they're like, oh my God, it's so amazing. And they see it, and then guess what? Matchmaker, make you a match, find you a find, catch you a cash. It's me, matchmaker, churn some butter, okay? Because I've done it. Aisha, I have a very special present for you outside, something Norman's never had, a date show up. Okay, go out there and check it out. And it's Scott. Like, Scott. The Alinghi headquarters starts like crumpling.
It's Brigadoon. It just disappears for 12 years. Scott is dressed like he is someone who works at Alinghi. And so when he turns around, she's like, and so she cries and it's lovely. And Max's like, who is that? This is crazy that she falls in love so quickly with someone from Alinghi. You're like, no, that's Scott. He's like, no, me. So everyone's like, oh, this is so sweet. I'm surprised Kizzy wasn't like, hey, Scott, I like the way he looks. I kind of feel like we have a vibe together.
Guys, Scott won't stop flirting with me. So he found out when her day off was and called Sandy and they hooked it up. And so it's like really romantic. And Sandy's like, Captain Sandy, more like Cupid Sandy. Alinghi.
So Scott's going to join them tonight on the boat, and they finish their tour, and Aisha's just like so excited. She's so happy. And Joe is now talking to Kizzy, being like, I genuinely don't remember what happened last night. I think we played Scrabble. And she's like, well, we were like, you should probably go to bed because this is going a way that it shouldn't go. And I went, oh, don't kiss me. Don't kiss me. And it was like a little tee hee. Cause I think you kissed me. Do you remember? So, I think it's so funny that the way she's like jogging his memory to this thing that they're like, we won't say a thing. But she's like, remember though that we did this though, right? Like, I want to make sure this is logged in your brain, because if you happen to gossip about it and then it comes out and then your relationship goes down the tube and then we could be together, that would be pretty fun. But don't say anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, she has to get it on record that he knows what they did, so she doesn't look like a liar later when she reveals what they did. So he's like, I can't afford to hurt Victoria. And she's like, that's why we don't say anything. So she's like, well, here's the thing. I don't regret having a kiss with Joe. You know, we've had great vibes from literally the day he walked on. But because, you know, her boyfriend died and everything, I shouldn't add more fuel to the fire. Because, you know, that would be shitty. That would be a shitty thing to do. No, it's shitty what you did. Adding fuel to the fire by telling her doesn't make it less shitty. Yeah. Not telling her doesn't make it less shitty. Whatever.
Yep.
So he's doing the whole, what the fuck have I done, bro? Just what you've been planning to do for 2 days. I will not accept the I am blacked out and it's all alcohol's fault. Like, I'm sick of it. Why doesn't Tito sue these people? You know, they've got to be so sick of being blamed for everything. They're like, we're just a refreshing beverage and you people use us for every excuse in the book.
Like, do people like this ever get embarrassed? I mean, do you ever think, like, isn't it so embarrassing that people see me and they know exactly what I'm going to do and it doesn't matter what I say because they know I'm going to do it and then I do it, like, that I'm so predictable like that? Like, aren't you embarrassed that we see you come onto the show and we say exactly what your story beats are going to be? Like, aren't you mortified that that's how you operate in life? I know the answer. The answer is no. They're not embarrassed, but, like, I would be mortified. So, of course, now... First rule of fuckboyism, which is that you've got to align your image with your mother. So he calls his mom and she's like, "Hello, you Joe." And he's like, "Mom, I made a mistake. Remember Victoria that I was telling you about? She means a great deal for me, which is why I call her Victoria." She's like, "Yeah, I do, Joe." He's like, "Well, last night I got drunk. There's another girl named Kizzy.
Oh, Joe, you gotta do something about it, yeah. Joe, why are you crying, Joe?
No, Joe, you're gonna make me cry, Joe."
"But here's the thing. V's off the boat because she's not well, and V's got a situation that I can't even wish upon me worst enemy. And the first night she's not here, I go and do this shit, Ma. I go." It's like, "Oh, just be honest. Just be truthful. Because you know she's not your girlfriend anyway, is she? What you gonna do? It's her own fault. It's her own fault for not locking you down, son." Boys will be boys.
And he's like, "Huh? I just don't want to hurt her today, Jesus Christ."
"Ah, Joe, why are you getting so upset, Joe?
Oh, I raised such a good boy to get me so upset like this, Joe." And he's like, "I can't imagine the pain that she's going through, Mom." She's like, "Oh, you've got me crying now, Joe. I'm the one going through the pain. Knowing my boy is such a good boy with feelings for somebody. The fact that you would feel like this for somebody else's feelings, Joe."
You raised a fucking asshole, okay? Get stronger on the phone. And you owe V an apology for raising that piece of shit. How about, Joe, get your shit together and maybe treat women a little bit better. And treating someone like this and then waking up and crying to your mother to get some audience sympathy is not really a good look. So get your shit together and grow the fuck up. You've barely got a hairline left, okay?
He's like, "I genuinely like Victoria. The number one thing is that I don't want to hurt her."
It doesn't matter how many times you call V Victoria, it does not mean you respect her, okay? Just because you use the full name does not mean that you have afforded any sort of thoughtfulness to this girl. But now he's like, "Oh, I just don't want to hurt her." Like, I don't care how many times you say, "I don't want to hurt her." You already have done the thing. It's too late. You've done it. You've been a piece of shit. You lived up to everyone's expectations in the worst way.
Yeah. So now it's like a relaxing day. H is, using scissors to cut a pizza as you do. And Max is talking to Scott and being like, "Oh, she loves you so much. Love. I love love. I'm French. The way she is speaking about you, I'm like, wow, Oh, it is like how my grandfather spoke of bombs that he was about to throw Nazis. Ah.
I love love, but I also love rebellion. I also love waving a big flag and I love stealing bread for my family." It's like,
"Max, you're just doing Les Miserables."
"La la la la, je t'aime, je pleure.
I need to make a poo."
And Scott's like, "Oh God, she's always talking about poo."
So then in their room, Joe and Nathan are talking and Joe's like, "Kizzy says that I kissed her." And Joe's like, "Oh, fuck." He's like furious. He's giving him this look. Joe's like, it was just like a quick peck. I'm like, you claim you don't remember. So how are you going to explain what sort of kiss it was? So Nathan is mad.
Yeah, it's like, I'm disappointed. It's clear the man doesn't learn from his mistakes. And now, I mean, didn't you just make out with Kizzy 2 nights ago? What the hell are you talking? I mean, I know he's not technically with Gail or whatever, but you're still calling Gail and being like, "I miss you. I wish I could see you." Yeah. He's like, "So now to see him playing with V, it just doesn't float my boat. I don't think it's cool."
So now they go out and Sandy's getting, while they're going into their van, Sandy gets a response from a deckhand that says, "Hello, Captain Sandy. Yes, I am available to come on board. Oh, no, I dropped an anchor on my foot again." Classic Gale.
It's going to be a surprise. So now everybody wants to be as in love as Scott and Aisha. And Max is like, well, Kathy is good, but she teaches me how to don't care, you know, just to fuck and don't care, which is good. It's good.
So Nathan's like, so you fucked her?
Oh, no. Oh, oop. No.
So now they go to this place that they're going to, and Kathy and Max are kissing, and they are at the Tablao de Carmen, where they're going to see flamenco dancing. And Nathan's like, I remember this place. I came here with Gail. Let's show a clip. Oh, gosh, I can't believe what a time it was. Now here I am alone, having this memory without Gail. Gail. Do you think he knows Gail's coming back?
I mean, he's got to know.
And I suspect he knows, because the whole thing, like, oh, I can't believe a boy is making out with a girl when he's committed to some other girl. I think he's trying to get on Gail's good side, I think, already.
Yeah, and I also firmly believe that the producers scanned his social media and saw that he went there and was like, we got to do this here. We got to go to the flamenco place. Also, an unsolicited review from our note taker, Shelby, who says that Tablao de Carmen is really cool. I went there on a trip in high school in 2010. So I wonder if Nathan was like, I remember when I was here in high school. Oh, my God, I jumped into someone else's body. Oh, my God. So huge endorsements for Tablao de Carmen. So he's spiraling because he's remembering what it was like to be there with Gail. You know, just that supermodel he pushed out of his life. And so,
yeah. So Max wants to kiss Kathy, and she's like, you make me feel like I'm the only person in the room and that there's only very little oxygen left, which you are currently taking up. And it just makes me feel like $1 million. So and then, that's romantic. I still can't believe she's into Max. It's weirding me out at this point.
It is weird.
Because he's just so Pepe Le Pew, like just all over. He's like a squirrel just like going around a tree over and over again, you know, climbing a tree. It's just
he just reminds awkward. Me of like a 14-year-old. He reminds me of like a 13-year-old. It reminds me of like when I went to my cousin's son's bar mitzvah and like all the little boys, all like the 13-year-old, the man I should say, 13 years old, were like, you know, playing football on the dance floor, and then they all like pile onto each other. They all like work themselves into a tizzy. I'm like, that's what Max is. Max is just like, he's just a hyperactive kid on a dance floor at a bar mitzvah. I'm like, how does Kathy like that?
Yeah.
But then we see this amazing flamenco. I love this flamenco. This lady was in it. She was dancing up a storm and like, ah! And
I just love the drama. It's like the stamping. It's like,
yes. It was great. And Josh starts to cry because he loves the artistry of it. And he's like, I'm going to put this into my food. So next time you see an omelet, just know I swirled a few times and incanted from my gut.
Like, why do we have shell in our eggs? Why? It's like, I stumped it. That's why. He's like, I would like you to enjoy your lobster Benedict.
So Joe, Kizzy's like, I don't know what the fuck they were saying, but I sobbed at that trio. And Joe's like, he was going, you're the love of my life, and I've done you wrong. And then she got like upset. And she's like, that's hilarious. What a funny show.
So, girls, we're just trying to think of where Scott and I are going to sleep. And they're like, oh, just take the queen. And she's like, well, I'm sorry, because I know you guys made the bed in the first place. I'm so sorry. So they get the main room, and everybody's fucking on the boat. So they do have to actually discuss it, you know, because it's not like most seasons where there's one couple who automatically is going to take it. And now V is texting Joe in the van, and she's like, I miss you. Nose blowing emoji.
And then Nathan afterwards is like, I'm going to go see fucking Gail after this boy. It's like, really? He's like, and Josh is like, well, why the fuck do you say that? He's like, well, you know, because Joe is upset because Joe doesn't like Gail. Because again, another beautiful facet of Joe is that he was a dick to Gail for really no reason, just because he's like insecure guy. And Nathan saying Scott and Aisha, and like how they were so happy seeing each other, and it's kind of just like sparked something in me. You know how it makes you rethink of what's important in life, and then obviously going to the flamenco thing. Oh, the memory just came flooding back to me. Flamenco, etc. So he's getting nostalgic. Also, it's that he's just not attracted to any of the girls on board. So he's like, oh yeah, there was that super hot girl that like I was actually in love with. So maybe I should go back to that.
So now they go back to the boat and Aisha and Scott go get dirty. And Nathan, after just being so romantic, is like, smells like salami. And then Max goes with Kathy and she's got a face mask on. And he's like, what is this? Huh? Are you robbing a bank?
And actually, I think he said it was very funny. He said, are you robbing to blend the bank? So then V texts Kizzy and she's like, hey, thinking about you on the boat. How's it going? Because, you know, there was a producer that was like, hey, V, why don't you text your friends? See how they're doing.
Kizzy, make them feel guilty. Asshole. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, thinking about you on the boat, barf emoji. How's it going? Blow nose emoji. And then she's like, I feel bad. She's texting me. Yeah, because you texted her. Why are you acting like she's just such a troublemaker, this one. And Joe's like, oh, fuck. And he closes the door. And she's like, I do feel like a really bad person. Well, that's good. Because you are. And Joe's like, yeah, same. I'm going to tell her. And she goes, oh, for fuck's sake. And he's like, no. And then he just leaves. He's like, good night.
Yeah. And then Scott has to leave for the airport. So Scott and Aisha say goodbye. And Aisha's like, there have just been so many moments this season where I've just been like, gosh, I really wish that Scott was here. And so to actually spend time with him, like, is a moment that we'll cherish and remember forever. Remember the time you put on someone else's uniform and surprised me at the Aer Lingi headquarters.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Stupid Sandy. You and her work again. Sandy.
Yeah, worked it. You just got stuck by the bow of Sandy. So she's like, Nathan, bridge. Okay, Nathan, I don't want you to go into this charter without another deckhand. Okay, so I'm bringing in someone that you know. She's really gorgeous. She's a model. You fucked it up the first time. Okay, let's see if this time you can park the boat. It's Gail. He's like, oh, Jesus, I'm so nervous. I just burped up salami. No.
You know, for a short filling position like this, Gail's a perfect fit. She's familiar with how the boat runs, familiar with the team, and we can break her heart when we tell her that Nathan made out with Kizzy, and then we can just send her on her way. So it's sort of a perfect match for us.
And she says that Gail's perfect for this because she already knows the boat, she already knows the team, and, you know, she's been working on vessels ever since, so she's gained even more experience. Wow, it's meant to be. Wow, I just Cupid-ed myself. Cupid got stuck by his own arrow. Jeez.
Yeah. So Nathan's like, goes up to Joe and he's like, bro, so V is not joining us this charter, but we have a replacement.
Do we? Who is it? Who can I fuck?
It's like, no, it's Gail. He's like, oh, you're taking the piss, aren't you? You're taking the piss. What the fuck? For the most part of last season, me and Gail, we were a good team until we started butting heads. No, you started butting heads with her because you were condescending and obnoxious to her. It's not
always, yeah, because he always thought she was getting like the easier job because she's a girl. And he was like, yeah, we see the flashback to her being like, you're a princess. And she's like, and you're a dick. And so then Nathan is telling Max and Aisha, and Aisha's like, oh my God, gay. So Kathy is asking Kizzy if she's going to get a cabin mate or if she's going to be alone. And I don't know. Who is it? It's Gail. We already know. So it's raining and everybody's watching Nathan, who's freaking out because he hasn't seen her in 10 months. And he doesn't know if he's going to get a kick in the nuts or not. So let's see. But I love that Kizzy has set herself up now to be on this boat with both Gail and V.
Yep.
And I hope she gets her comeuppance.
I know. And next week, it looks like Nathan is going to profess his love to Gail, which would be sort of sweet and lovely if he didn't make me hate him over the weekend. Oh, well, that's life. So we do have that to look forward to next week. And thanks, everyone, for being here. Be sure to follow us on Patreon and on Instagram and wherever else you may want to follow us. Or don't. You can live your life without following us. That's fine. It's fine. Who are we? Thanks for being here. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.